February 24, 2016. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Show on a Wednesday,
What are we in the 70s, Brother Matt?
Beautiful winds.
Yeah.
Yes. It's probably upper 70s, mid 70s.
Yeah. So we actually had a day of rain, people. I think it was Friday or Saturday.
Incredible.
Then the warmness came in. We had 12 days of 80 around there in February.
People. Yeah, pretty nice February.
We started off with John Coltrane and. This ain't the fucking right paper. This is last week, Brother Matt.
Souvenirs. Put on eBay.
Put on eBay. Yeah. Here we go. It was John Coltrane. By the way, they're having some trouble up with the Church of John Coltrane, Will.i.am, up in San Francisco, the city. Yeah, the guy, they won't accept the rent. So that's usually a signal the dude's trying to evict.
Uh-huh.
Pecker.
Bogus.
Yeah. So hopefully the supervisors just come in and try to get a compromise or something. But good luck to them. I brought pizza there when they were on Gow and what was the other street? Whatever. It was a good time. Then we had Seatbelt doing gonna burn for this one.
Seatbelt.
And Seatbelt's protagonist, Scott.
How you doing?
Yeah,
coming
welcome.
On board, truly.
Get another aspect of the sounds of Pedro.
Right.
Yeah, you've been
let's go way
Pedro
back.
Sounds for a long time.
Let's shove them into the Wayback Machine.
Long time.
Matt,
yeah.
And ask Scott, your first musical memory in your mind that's still left rattling around.
First musical memory. In my house, my dad had a hi-fi, and he played Johnny Cash records.
Cool.
And my mom liked classical
music. So
that's
your first...
Well, the
Johnny
combination...
Cash.
I can't remember which was first, hearing the Johnny Cash records or, like, my mom liked classical music and would play the radio station, and those, like, you know, high-pitched violins would drive me crazy. My ears couldn't take it. I hated that. But we also had a piano that she played, and she played a little bit of piano, so that's probably the first...
So it's either your pop playing Johnny Cash, or the radio playing classical, or your ma on piano.
Yeah,
you're probably getting bombarded with that stuff in the womb.
Probably. I would assume
entrance.
maybe conceived to some Johnny Cash.
Yeah. So Johnny Cash figured big. That's your papa's big Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Yep.
Did he ever get to see him live?
Yeah.
Do you know he played the fucking Foothill?
Yeah, I know he played the Foothill.
They had that picture of him young there. That was one of the oldest running clubs.
Yeah. That somebody got that picture when they closed down.
Right.
But we saw him, my dad and I saw him at what's that?
Well, you saw him together.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, we didn't go together, but we were both at the same show.
Okay.
It was that college, not Dominguez, but the one in Torrance, right off Crenshaw.
El Camino.
Was it El Camino? God, I'm so
isn't that Shaw?
Yeah.
It's on Shaw.
Yeah. That was it then. He played there
in the Cal State school.
Yeah. He played there in the auditorium like back maybe early 80s or something. And,
wow.
Went and checked him out. It was cool.
Jumpsuit?
No, okay. Didn't have a jumpsuit.
The famous middle finger shot.
Man in black.
I think that one's blue though. I think it's a blue jumpsuit. Yeah. It's so bizarre. He's in a jumpsuit.
Yeah, I think he was out on parole by the time we saw him.
Elvis days. Because Elvis got into jumpsuits for a while.
Oh, yeah. That was really, yeah.
And big belts.
He would have had moo moo if he could.
And karate. Yeah. Karate in the jumpsuit.
Moo moos.
Yeah. Jumpsuits became morphed into moo moos.
So your mom's, your pop ain't a musician, but your mom is. So you had a play. You got some playing in your genes. Okay, so can you? That's the first music memories you got.
Yeah.
What record can you tell me that you bought first?
The very first record I think I bought. You know, I was trying to think of this the other day, and it was either Led Zeppelin 4 or Black Sabbath Paranoid. One of those two. Bought it down at Jesse's.
It was the album.
Yeah, it was the album.
Jesse's.
Yeah.
6th Street?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
I'm going to have a Black Sabbath adventure this week.
In those days? Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going up to see Bullock in Vancouver. He's got some VIP situation to check him out. They got rescheduled because Ozzy got sick. So.
And no Bill Ward.
No Bill Ward. I just saw Black Sabbath in Denver last Monday.
Yeah.
I happened to be up there visiting relatives, and they were playing, and I'd never seen them. So it's like, and it's the last tour, and I'm out of state. Let's go. So
Where were they? Red Rocks?
No, it was the place where the Nuggets play, whatever. There's a Pepsi Arena or something in Denver. Yeah.
Basketball joint.
Basketball. You must sound real good. You know, I went by to go, because Ben Franklin's back in town.
Oh, big, not really here.
It's in Long Beach.
Yeah, the Big Dad.
And yeah, 1,300 feet, the biggest boat to ever drop anchor in North America, actually. And yeah, 18,000 a unit.
So like that's right. The 9, container 40 ship.
40-foot cans.
Yeah.
Jank.
So, but still, it's so far out there, tiny little pictures. I found out that, you know, when you cross Ocean Boulevard at Alameda, that's Alameda Beach.
Oh. Yeah, wow.
And then a couple blocks up is North Alameda.
Wow.
Neighborhood. Yeah, wow. I don't know the Long Beach neighborhoods. Next to that is something called Bluff Heights.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's Belmont Heights and Belmont Shore.
Yeah, yeah.
Here I was thinking that was all.
Yeah, all kinds of little pockets.
I thought it was all. I knew Naples was its own trip. Anyway, back to Scott. So, first thing you got was a hard rock record.
Yeah.
How old were you?
That was probably like 12 or something.
12?
Yeah.
So, grade school.
Yeah.
Okay. What made you buy that?
I had an older brother who, you know, his friends were into music, and but he didn't really buy records, but I started hearing that stuff, and then I liked it. And
how much older?
3 years older.
Okay,
so,
that's enough.
Yeah.
So like when you were junior high, he's in high.
Yeah. And his friends are playing stuff.
So you gravitate, you get more and more of those kind of records?
Well, yeah, from there it was, you know, every Black Sabbath record and every Blue Oyster Cult record and... you know,
you want to chase down the whole series,
and then I had a friend of my brother's that we used to surf together, and his older brother was even older than him.
He
turned us on to all this great stuff like Bowie and Roxy Music and Sparks way back when their first records were coming out. And you know, Hendrix and just all this stuff that, you know, wasn't on the radio.
And
for us, it was already kind of old stuff then, but we were just digging it. And yeah, you know.
What, do you think it motivated you to want to play? When did you get the idea you wanted to start playing?
Well, I took piano lessons when I was little, but...
Were you made to?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Did you get to hate them?
Got to hate them because I wanted to go out.
I love so much.
Yeah.
Young people I know get put on piano and they're hating it.
Yep.
Because they weren't put on it. The teachers are kind of strict.
Yeah, and you know, the one time I had this, I used to take piano lessons right down here above Cabrillo Beach. Had this old lady named Mrs. Oak, and she taught piano. And
right, what, near the Love Grotto here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like a block away. Had a view of Cabrillo Beach.
Wow. While you were playing, you could see the beach.
Yeah. Out of her living room. I can show you which pad it is. Okay. Hello there. And, you know.
How long did you do it?
It's like 5 years or something.
Wow. 5 years, okay.
Yeah.
Can you sight read?
I could then. Now I can very slowly. Slow. But this one time, she started playing Boogie Woogie. I don't know what, and she had long fingernails, and they clicked, and I just thought, my jaw dropped. I'm like, what's that? And she goes, oh, that's Boogie Woogie. I go, teach me that. She goes, no, I can't. Your parents would kill me.
Holy classic.
Yeah.
Christmas carols.
Yeah.
Waltzes.
Pop, junk, whatever. Stuff that I didn't give a crap about.
Right.
But that was a seed right there. I heard that. I'd never heard anything like that. That walking bass boogie stuff.
So it was piano, but only one kind of piano, and only once she played it.
Yeah.
What a teaser.
A taunt.
Just planting a seed.
It wasn't taunt, but it definitely, it planted a seed because I still remember it to this day.
Okay, so how old were you? You said 5 years?
Yeah, I probably started around age 5 to age 10, something like that.
Okay, so it's before junior high.
Yeah.
And when's the guitar thing come?
When I was about 20, I didn't start playing.
Oh, not until after high school?
Yeah.
No high school garage bands?
No. Garage bands, but after high school.
Yeah, but after. But no school band either?
No.
Okay, so after high school then, that's when you want to start playing.
Yeah. Actually.
And what did it?
Well, actually it was.
Wait a minute. Let's play Black on Black.
Cool. Okay.
Oh, Das ist doch Jacke wie Hose.
Feeling, truck stop, meals, rolling down forever. Red and yellow trucks must have run on and on. Now I sit quietly with dark windows, staring and waiting sadly by the highway. Love that feeling, though. Always leaving them, going back home. I've had trucks before. Old trucks roll on forever, and those little yellow trucks could be my toys. Much love, friends, flying up and down highways, wondering just where my truck will end up. Pointed at a road somewhere. Until then, I fly, looking for cool places to bike and canoe. Always a kid again. Just in need another highway and another good old truck.
I'm a rambler. I'm a gambler. I'm a long way from home. If them people, they don't like me, they can leave me alone. Oh, it's dark out and clean, and the moon gives no light, and my pony, it won't travel on the dark road at night.
We'll awaken when fishing ifs from ether matters more than the mundane. For only at that moment will the scales of ethos be blindly fulcruming home. Intoned pangalactic drags scream exultantly upon hooking impossible flames that quench desire during our eves of joyous yearning, en masse or all alone. Dear tautness of line, demonstrate that strength of vibrancy with valor. We dig in despite deviancy and pallor from the meanest unwilling casts, chancing upon each new morrow with heads, tails, or stories meant to enamor. Those maintaining anchor dare not wear thin their stance while waves of sun last. Like steadying cascades of sand, furrowed in dunes to smite determined brows, one's grit measured proudly by grains of truth, direct like wood and wild like stone. Insurmountable hills then crumble like wriggling bones as sighing fires allow the determined catchers of whim who fancy that optimist chance to come home. Seasides swell in our desire that tees treason from mere hunger's need. Sand rushes upon this balance of seeing until ocean-sized wishes displayed. Our reeling halts amid teetering wave caps and horizons chased at salt's speed, engendering multitudinous gifts in this moment equal to water times air inhaled. Warmed by friends near us in deep sea vents, or far astride dim tidal pools, smiling beamed silver curl off the next wave face in shared assurance by the sea, falling only to be caught by a coterie that coheres best, cruising in schools, pulsating bits of pesky fin feather the undertow, singing songs of sea breeze. Wonder wakes upon slack tides aloft, on foam and sailing in sibilant sleep. Slickening royals in Neptune's curve propelled down slippery a lighted salt. Surf dreams surged beneath lifted by unseen seabeds churning chill up steep slopes of significance, daydreamed by conduits of every yesterday called. Her rolling, salty shoulders crash gritty floors in unending slap and caress. Sighs as she roars, what's whispered is lore from eons of thanks after storms. Gloriously astride the shore, against the churning green swell of her breast, she heaves, some rise into and with her, all breathe her spray and are warmed. Too soon the ancient seabed lifts above her brine, leaving us miles from her lips. Clouds puff down close into her moist twilight, opening indistinguishable realms. An oily mist between her starry velvet and the point where we first see the ships, playfully galloping on incoming brines, scrolling her aqua-covered carpet so calm.
Pedro show. We heard Seatbelt doing Black on Black, then Incarceration Casserole by Barris Whitfield and the Savages. Going to have him on the show via Skype coming up, Brother Man. Sorcery by Carnal Kitchen. That was Brother Steve McKay's band. Me and my missing men are going to go do Steve Stock this Saturday.
Oh, right.
Pacific of the town he lived in. Huh. Get a benefit up
that'll be a party.
For his wife, Patty. It's already sold out. Jella is going to do some Stooges songs with us.
Oh, cool.
Night before, Friday, we're going to play Sacktown. D.B. Kane at Old Ironsides. But, I'm missing the hell out of him. And actually got to record with his drummer and Brother Steve some West Coast jazz or something it was called. It was in Sunset. Is that the name of the town? They annexed themselves, Seal Beach, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then brand new for Familia Miranda out of Catalan. Bonpreu. Big Crux with Dari Licht after that. Old Trucks, Joe Brewer, cousin of Jack. Sorry. I'm a Rambler, Charlie Plymell. A cappella. Some poetry from Chris Kroger with In Seawater's Charm. And then Bo Peep with Power. They got a new record coming out. 5 years out of Tokyo. Rats in the Louvre. Time and Space. Craig Ibarra's friends from Long Beach. That's where you are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Strong Beach is coming. And Bathrobes and Towels. Something live from Mr. Susan. I guess Time and Space, Bathrobes and Towels. And then finally, Dr. Amazon with German Pile Driver.
So
one of the cats in Smegma, I think.
Okay.
Free music.
So speaking of Long Beach, it looks like you got a little project going at the pad. You got a little family jam space, getting the family out in.
Well, we've just been doing it in the kitchen because that's all acoustic, you know. But, I have been I'm drywall in the garage making a studio. It's almost done, so.
Oh, man.
Stoked about that.
Well, Casa Hanzo.
It's got to be fun getting the family jamming together.
Oh, yeah. My daughter's 10 years old. She plays upright bass.
Oh, man.
And she's slapping it. And she's getting good.
yeah, that stuff, that's, you didn't need a drummer.
Yeah, they didn't have drummers.
I was in the Strong V Saturday, Fourth Vine on 4th Street.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, with Pete and Jared. Neat place.
Cool.
What was his name? Joe or Lee or something. That's guy. Play there again. But getting back to the music story. So what, 20 years old, I want to play guitar.
It pretty much came because I was totally into music, bought records all the time, went to shows, but never played. And then my friends, Pete Botica, their band started playing.
Pete Botica.
Yeah.
And on the show a few months
ago. Yeah, I listened to that. It was great. But me and some of my friends thought, we're more into music than those guys. We should start a band. Let's start a band. It was the things we don't know how to play. We don't have any instruments. Well, there's a pawn shop, so we went down here, it's probably not even there, but there's a bunch of pawn shops down there on Pacific.
Yeah.
We all, bought guitars and got some amps somewhere and tried to learn how to play, found some kid who could play drums.
You taught yourselves, you guys.
Yeah,
wow.
Pretty much, yeah.
So what was
this band called?
Yeah. We pretty much named it Street Urchins right from the beginning, and that name stuck for a long, probably 10 years or something.
Yeah, one of the premier Pedro party bands.
Yeah, we were around for a long time, had a bunch of different, it was me
did
and...
What did he play when he was on the show? Did he play some of that stuff?
I think he brought some of that stuff.
Yeah, he was playing some old, old 45.
They had a couple 45s, yeah.
Okay.
So what was your first gig? You mentioned going to shows. What were, was
very
your first
concert? Gig? Oh, that the very first gig we played was down on Paseo Del Mar at, Jerry's Barn. Yeah, it was that barn on Paseo. He had in the back of his house, and, the Dial Tones played, and we played, and maybe some other band. I forget.
Dial Tones, that's what people
think. Yeah.
But what was the first concert that you ever went to?
Oh, the first concert was Led Zeppelin, Long Beach Arena.
Bitchin'.
Oh, as a gig goer.
As a gig goer, yeah. Right when Physical Graffiti came out, I saw that show.
Cool.
It was pretty impressive being in eighth grade,
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Great one.
So, Street Urchins, did you guys record?
We did do some recording. We went in the studio the first time. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. You know, I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it was in Carson. No, it wasn't Carson. Pedro. It was like Carson or somewhere. And we just went in and did like 8 tunes in one day, and that was it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was all we recorded for a long time. And then a friend, Max, a drummer from the Dial Tones, had a 4-track cassette, and we recorded some stuff on that. And
you brought some of that.
I got some of it. Well, he was going to give it to me, but it just didn't work out.
Later, so
yeah, yeah. I have one thing that's got a couple of street
urchin
things.
So you did this band for 10 years?
Yeah.
Did you end up playing clubs and stuff?
We did play clubs. We played like Bogart's. We played stuff
in
Pedro.
Bogart's
used to
be in Long Beach.
Yeah.
The Marina Pacifica Mall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played Bronco Billy's here in Pedro, whatever bars were around at the time.
Bronco Billy's, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
Places like whatever we could get a gig, you know, we'd play.
I think Conga Room's called Chop House.
Yeah.
Chop House.
So hang in there.
Yeah.
Right, upstairs. Sweaty. So, what happened? 10 years is like...
Yeah, I don't know. We just kept doing it, and eventually we ran out of...
Gas?
Guys in the... Yeah, kind of ran out of gas a bit, and, you know, the guys were getting... doing other things, and...
What, other music?
Or other jobs. Mostly jobs.
Okay, so
kind
you
of
didn't
stuff.
Have time for music.
Yeah.
But you wanted to keep pushing for music, so you got another band going after?
Yeah, after... I kind of did a thing where I got some... inherited a little dough and went on a year surfing safari and split for a year and went to like South Sea, Fiji, Indonesia,
tour.
Yeah, Australia, New Zealand.
So
and
you stopped playing for a while.
I brought a guitar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was kind of right before that too. As I started taking some guitar lessons from a guy who knew jazz stuff. You know, found a guy in the recycler.
Yeah.
Because I was like up to the point where it's about all I can do with 3 chords. I want to see what else is out there. You know.
Yeah.
And then you learn that 3 chords in jazz, 2-5-1, you just keep changing key centers,
that's
still
right.
3 chords.
I love 2-5-1.
Yeah. And so then after I got back, my friends and I started another little band that was even more of a party band.
I forgot the little, there's a little tune that helps you with that.
Those reminder, like...
Yeah, the 2-5-1 thing. I can't remember them... Can you think of it? There's a little mnemonic device, a little tune... that helps with that.
Huh.
Of course, I'm too Alzheimer'd out to think of it. You started another band, though.
Yeah, when I got back from that, and it was just really some friends, and, you know, we'd play.
Well, that's what it was before.
Yeah.
Different friends.
Yeah, it was friends, and we'd play down at the Oyster Wharf, and we actually played a lot that band.
What was this band called?
It was called Shoulder Hoppers.
Shoulder Hoppers.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to Oyster Wharf, man? That place used to go off. It's
been
sitting there for years.
It's been empty, and they don't do anything with it. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's like
somebody's sitting on it.
Yeah,
it's part of the problem with that whole Portsacall thing, you know? Mm. It just sits, and it could be
I don't
like,
know if it's a problem. I think it could be even worse if they bring in the merch.
That's
but
true.
But anyway, the Shoulder Hoppers.
Yeah.
And so what's the difference between the Shoulder Hoppers and the Street Urchins? They're different guys.
Different guys, and...
You know how to play guitar better.
Yeah, I knew how to play a lot better.
You write and you're composing different...
Yeah.
You compose songs in both bands, right?
Yeah. Just kind of... We did maybe one or
so
two
So it's more
songs.
Like an evolved thing.
Yeah, just more evolved, but like also in a way it was more casual, you know?
It was more casual than Street Urchins.
Yeah.
And what's the name mean?
A shoulder hopper is a guy who cuts you off on a wave.
You're
taking off and a shoulder hopper drops in on you. And the whole thing with that band was it was kind of just our friends. And the first guy who started playing drums was Charlie Young. And he kind of just did it as a hobby. He wasn't really that great of a drummer. He just did it for fun. So it was kind of a shoulder. Whoever was around, if someone could play better, they'd come and sit in. So there was another bass player.
So it was loose that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of had a revolving
chassis. How long did you do that?
That was for probably 5 or 6, 8 years. I don't know. It was a while.
Ran out of gas.
Yeah, ran out of gas. I started getting more into got a 4-track and recording stuff and wanted
your
to get
own?
More. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and wanted to get more serious and.
What with the? I never got to play with on a bill with Street Urchins or Shoulder Hoppers, but I did get to play on a bill with Killjoys with Dose at the old Sacred Grounds.
Oh, cool.
That's a block away from.
Yeah.
And
And that's the first time I saw you playing. Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so is that the next band after Shoulder Hoppers?
Pretty much, yeah.
This is with Bink.
I met Bink and...
I can't remember the drummer.
Chris Salcido was the
Chris,
drummer.
Okay. Yeah. The bass man.
Was Ravi Knipstra.
Ravi, right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Good bass man.
Yeah.
And so this is your third band. And it's pretty... It's got some... The voicings on the chords are pretty sophisticated. Yeah. You learned a little fairy.
Yeah.
As they were in Bink too, you know, they're playing jazzy kind of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always didn't want
to. It's kind of maudlin, it's kind of down, kind of somber.
It was.
But it was jazzy.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
That was kind of the way I think both of us were feeling at the time, you know, kind of like just this depressed thing, and it came out in this depressed sort of music.
It was hard to get all happy. In the
That's why the name was perfect.
Perfect name.
Come at the end of the first hour, February 24, 2016. Guest Scott McLean. Hold tight for hour two. February 24th, 2016. It's the second hour of Watch for Pedro Show.
provizí. Dnost bez pění a nic už není jak dřív.
Není, prý žádné překvapení, prý se v něm nic nikdy nemění. A tak když slyší někdo hlasy v kameni, je to asi špatné znamení. A co když není, co když tohle znamení, je tím, co nás náhle promění.
Co nás náhle promění.
Padá kámen, letí jak dým, jenž do ohně zpátky míří. Voda se zavíří, dno bezpění, a nic už není, jak dřív. Padá kámen, piruetán, a do duše strach se blíží. Voda ruce stříží nad hladinou, jak ten, kdo je spoutaný. Není všechno dílem nahodilým, i ve vodě kámen tíží. Voda se zavíří, dno se zbraní, a nic už není.
Cry like a captive, the heart is it must be paid. The streets are a jungle. It's us against them. City full of savages. It's either us or them. Meanwhile, Oregon is burning. Oregon is burning. Rally round. Is home. There'll be no volition under martial law. I don't trust the camera run by the elite. When you put your hands up, come down the street. Can't you see that Oregon is burning?
The yearning of men to escape the confines of their own.
Waffle Pedro show start off the second hour with Seatbelt doing Up in Your Grill. Slutchy, Ushmadoma from their new album. The Solvents with Wear It Round Your Wrist. They're out of Seattle. Very Be Careful with El Encuentro. We're going to play with them guys in April. One of them accordion.
Oh.
Yeah, Norteño.
Cool.
The Blueprint Conspiracy with Oregon is Burning. Yeah, I want to talk with those guys. I think they're out of Boston. Slippers and Asylon with The Rocket. Collaboration out of Long Beach. And then finally, Disciplina Kichme. Rechi Ruke Uvis. Koya. Other Koya. Back to the musical journey of Scott McLean. Killjoys. About how long?
I think that was about 3 years, maybe, something like that.
3 years. So the projects started getting shorter.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah.
7 years.
Well,
that one
we got a little more serious. We were recording here in Pedro down at the Singer Studios with Tony. We worked a long time on that. And then at the end, Binkley decided he didn't like it, and that was it. And so then, he tells me he's breaking up the band, and then I go over to the house that we drywalled to get my gear in there auditioning some new guitar player. So that was it.
Band's going, you just got to
Bink.
Come on.
I'm not saying anything bad about it.
No. Come on, Bink. Okay, so after that, you start jamming with Dirk. And we were saying off air, people, Dirk had this jam band going with a couple of longshoremen guys, Steve Brewley on drums. John
Clifford
on the bass.
Yep.
Dirk told me he's been taking care of his mom.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, me either.
He's laying low.
And then, of course, Dirk was on guitar.
Yep.
And you were on guitar. And this band never had a name, but you jammed like for years.
Yeah,
for years. Dirk worked over at the airport, and you had that place there at Venmo, right?
Well, actually, then we started doing it here in Pedro at that same Singer studio that we used to record the Killjoy stuff.
So shorter drives.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And
once a week for years, man, we just get together and have a blast.
Right. And you only played maybe once.
Yeah, we played out one time, I think.
One time. But he becomes part of this other band that you started called
Seatbelt and the Pecking Order.
We've been talking about this Seatbelt band. This the first name was Seatbelt and the Pecking Order.
Yeah.
And this isn't a somber band.
No.
This is a joyful band.
This is fun, yeah.
It's celebratory.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of roots.
It started like we were jamming. I was jamming with Dirk, and all of a sudden we started talking about Johnny Burnett. And most people don't know who the hell Johnny Burnett is, but to me, that's the best rockabilly stuff ever done. And Dirk knew it, and right away we started playing those songs off the top of our heads. And we're like, wow, this is great. This is fun. We should play this, you know. Yeah. And so we started playing that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know?
And I know you did gigs because we shared some bills at Harold's place.
Sure. We opened for the Gears at Harold's.
Did Seatbelt and the Pecking Order ever record?
Yeah. I actually got a CD, man, of stuff we did, yeah.
Wow. So. And this has got Dirk Vander.
Yeah, Dirk's the drummer on that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Shit, you got to play this.
Yeah.
Okay, Modern Sounds and Pagan Love Songs. No, Modern Sounds and Pagan Love Songs.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, wow, you guys are wearing like bolo ties.
Yeah.
Hey, you got some styling outfits, man.
Yeah,
you
we got into the whole Western thing, you know, with the nudies type stuff and, everything like that. And I've kind of been into it ever since, you know.
Alcohol Collect.
That's Dirk's song.
Yeah.
So is it hard to find those styling duds?
It takes some time. It's harder now because now the prices are, back when I started, it was a little easier because you could get them sort of.
What, like thrift store?
Yeah, thrift store or eBay, man. eBay is great for that, you know.
And you got the cool tiki action, too, huh? The fences and stuff?
Well, that kind of was like an offshoot of, you know, just being a surfer and stuff and going to Hawaii and everywhere and loving that tiki stuff. I've been a fan of that since I was a little kid, so I just started buying tiki mugs and all that. Junk and
The Pibatika's records, they're tikis.
Yeah. Me and Botika have a lot in common, you know. We've known each other a long time. We played together in bands and stuff too, you know. So
His angle's surf.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also got the Lazy Lance, too.
Yeah, so
he got
the
Right, but he's more of a supporter of, right? That's not his music. I think that's Lance's music, right?
Well, I think Pete pretty much writes the guitar parts for their songs. Like, you know, Lance will come in with "I got an idea," and then Pete.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Pete's thing seems like he's solid.
Yeah. That's.
And your surf was more with the Urchins.
We did that, but I still always kind of played it. You know, I played with Pete in a surf band called the Reframers for a while, and
yeah, I remember telling us about that.
Yeah. So.
Okay, and then what happened? How did Seatbelt in the pecking order evolved into Seatbelt?
Well, it started, you know, we had a friend of mine, Mark Smith, who used to be in the Street Urchins and the Shoulder Hoppers playing electric bass, and I just got more and more like, you know, if we're going to do this, we got to get an upright bass, and that's not something you can just switch from electric to upright. It's a different instrument, so.
Completely different.
Found a guy that
it's
played upright.
Down, it's not sideways.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
totally
a giant
different.
Violin with no chin part.
And it's percussive, you know.
We're very percussive.
Whereas if you played bass like that, on electric bass, it's a different style of music, you know.
Yeah. Your left hand has to go up and down.
Yeah.
It's none of this. Yeah.
So got an upright bass player, and then, you know, after a while, Dirk just had enough of it. He was burnt out on it, and, you know. He quit, so.
So you got a new bass and a new drum.
Yeah.
So you remain the.
Yeah.
Seatbelt.
Yeah, I'm the last.
Okay, look, Brother Matt, how about you bring in some spin cyclage?
Cool.
And Scott over here collaborate with you.
Very cool.
Throw him some fucking screwballs, curveballs.
Can't wait.
Excellent.
Knuckleball.
Thank you. office, 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 no charge.
No.
Yeah,
Scott,
made it,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Made it despite some power surges or something.
Power surges. We lost it.
Part of the,
what time
part of today's
time?
Flavor.
You know, blown out the power before, it's probably me.
Part of today's flavor. Thank you.
But you prevailed, Brother Matt. What was behind your impetus? What you just did?
Trying to avoid clams.
Okay.
The clam avoidance.
Clam avoidance maneuver.
Well, I should have tried that.
You're great. We're at the end of the second hour. February 24, 2016 edition. Scott McLean, hold tight for hour 3. February 24, 2016. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh, Thank you.
Pedro Show started off the third hour with My Ship Came In from Seatbelt. And we had Chelsea with Little Princess, Dandelion Seeds by Dem and Gary and Ross, and finally Latronics, Abby's new proj. Are you new age? I guess that's kind of an eternal question. Scott, so we've been hearing a bunch of Seatbelt songs the whole show. This is the final evolution, right? Or is it still changing?
The band's pretty much the same. We're you know, we've haven't made a record in a few years, and we got two records worth of songs. We just got to record, so yeah, we're raring.
And you're making a studio in your pad.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be recorded there.
Yep.
And what do you call this studio?
I don't know. I had a lot of people suggesting names. I haven't decided on one yet.
Okay.
You know.
You let us know when you come up on one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seatbelt. Then what's this thing with your daughter on bass? That's another project?
Well, that's just like, you know, I have the upright bass in the house
for
the last few years, and I've been playing it. I play it almost every day. I love just slapping that thing and playing it. And she's seen me playing it, and she started taking piano, didn't really like it, tried guitar, didn't like it, took fiddle, and she liked that a little bit, and still playing that a little bit. But then she started... slapping the bass, and then I started. She had the slap in the rhythm totally down, but she needed the notes. So I learned, taught her some notes, and she started learning songs, and it's just getting better. You know, she's having fun with it. She likes
so
playing the bass.
So the seatbelt bass man better watch.
Yeah,
that. Interesting. So you got a bunch. You got a couple albums worth. You just got to find some time. Or are you just going to wait till you get the studio done? And then
probably get it done and then do it there, Because every time I go out to a studio, I always feel like I don't have enough time to
It's got
to
be rushed. That's
it's
what's great
rush.
About having a studio at your pad.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets done.
Yeah. You know, you can... I mean, there is something to that whole spontaneity and being in a rush getting good, you know, creativity right on the spot. But there's also something about... yeah, that idea was good. Let's develop that idea a little bit, and next time do it, you know, first take, but, like, have it, you know, developed.
You
yeah.
What, you know, this, what these recordings are from, what was the album?
The one's called Pour Me a Traveler.
Like, we're going to play over now.
Cool.
And that's called Pour Me a Traveler?
No, I thought you were talking about the other ones. That one is actually called In the Land of the Dead Blind, the Sober Man is King. That's like a solo record. I mean, I've just been making records at home for ever since I, you know.
Oh, because it was labeled Seatbelt. That's actually Scott McLean.
Yeah. That's
that
actually me. Yeah.
Credit, brother, man.
Yeah.
Just over now. That's
yeah,
the
over
Scott McLean. All the rest are Seatbelt.
I think so. Yeah.
You correct us if we're wrong. Okay, people, here's Scott McLean solo, Over and Out. But it ain't Over and Out. He's going to sing a song for us, flat on the air.
Thank you. of caffeine. My bloodshot eyes are blinded by something I can't see. Yellow brittles are ripping down as someone's giving birth. On a two-lane vein directly above the center of the earth. Looking for musicians, appealing for the band. Used to be too many, but now they're in demand. Can you play the washboard? You have to keep the time. It's my favorite instrument, I can play it when I'm blind. Big Fish Story, not the one that got away. Tall tales, lips and eyes, should have been here yesterday.
Scott, what do you call that song?
That's called Big Fish Story.
Big Fish Story.
Cool.
Perfect for Pedro. Before that, we had you doing Over and Out. Kim Gordon's got a new band called Glitter Bust. The High Line is named the tune. Cosmodrone Live, Gasta WC. That's usually what they call the head over there.
Water closet.
Water closet. Euphemism. And Circumflex from the Extract out of Canada. And finally, an oldie, Test Department, doing Total State Machine. Oh, of course, on our Air Performance Big Fish Story. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I mean, and good luck with your music journey. If somebody just getting in this racket, like your daughter, somebody young, or maybe somebody's 20 years old and start guitar. What would you tell them after 30, 20? Yeah. You put a lot of years in this.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
So what do you have any advice?
Yeah, I'd say if you dig music, play it. I mean, there's nothing better. You know, I think every time if I ever stopped playing music, I regretted it and said, you know, why aren't I doing it? And it's, you know, if you got it in you, then you don't really need any advice. Just keep playing it. You know,
let it out.
Let it out. Yeah,
I like that.
You figure it out, right? I mean, we figure it out along the way. But if you dig it and you're having fun, man, that's all there is to it. You know, that's good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's its own reward, I think.
So, I mean, somebody asked me, the one thing I would add was keep learning.
Oh yeah.
And
always.
Right.
Yeah, always.
And then, so I've heard too, if you want to keep learning, teach a little bit.
Mm.
Yep.
I think Buddha said that. Stop teaching. Stop learning, stop living. Stop teaching. So maybe you've handed down the bass to your daughter.
Yeah, that's fun. I definitely enjoy teaching her, you know, because she digs it, so it's fun. Yeah.
Man, you know what? It was a place for stand-up basses there in Long Beach with 7th Street.
I know, close. Mm-hmm. I'm bummed out.
World Strings. They must have had 20 or 30 machines there.
They fixed my bass there, yeah.
And now, I don't know where you go. I wonder what happened to all them instruments.
I don't know what happened to all the basses. I think a couple of the guys have a new shop.
A new shop in Long Beach.
Yeah. But they don't have. It's a little tiny thing, okay. And you know they don't have that big old room with all those basses.
Man, anymore. That was a resource. Yeah. It was a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you when you said you were younger and stuff and people learning from. Do you remember World of Strings?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
On 17.
Oh yeah.
Daffy?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think there's a liquor store there.
Yeah,
by the way, now Sinclair is matching the Arco gas for lowest gas.
Oh.
You want to know about lowest gas?
I always do. Why pay for the advertising, right?
Scott, thank you so much for being on the show,
thanks
brother.
So much
man.
For having me, guys.
Thanks for having me.
It's a suggestion and brought it over, and it's been years, and finally we got this opportunity.
Well, thanks, I really appreciate it. That
and then the new stuff, the two albums worth of new seatbelt, please flow our way.
Definitely.
We're
going to
play some of this old stuff next show with Dirk.
Cool.
And what was the difference? Because it had a pecking order.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been the February 24th, 2016 edition of Waffle Pedro Show. Brother Matt, thank you so much for your always essential aiding and abetting. See you next week. I got to go do that thing for Brother Steve, but we'll see you next week. Who's next week, guest?
Rick Holstrom.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All these CDs, David, you know no song titles, though, so get them from
me. Yeah. They're all... On, can you print it out when it's on the, when you put it in?
I'll look. Everybody, keep your powder dry. Yeah.